Defending Liberty 1 hour at a time and broadcasting from the RWB Network Studios in New York. This is the Rhino Report. Always right.
Let's get ready to rumble!
We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
She got chunked. You are very rude.
We are going to make America great again.
And now, here's your host, the Rhino.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Hello, hello, hello. I am the Rhino, and this is my report. Today, Wednesday, August 3rd, 2016, and we're coming to you from the RWB Network Studios here in New York, the 11th state, the Empire State, the Big Apple State, maybe? Maybe. Hey, did you know the millennials? Millennials are almost a sexless generation. Almost sexless. They have less sex of any generation since the 1920s. This is according to a Florida Atlantic University study. That's crazy. With all the apps out there and Tinder and swiping left and swiping right, they're not having any sex. No, it's terrible. In 2016, the CDC did a study, okay? Only 41% of high school students have had sex. In 1991, that number was 54%. So they're down 13%. I'm not condoning high school sex. I'm just telling you what the numbers are, guys. Telling you what the numbers are. And you know what? I'm glad. I'm glad I'm not a millennial. I am really glad. You know, oddly enough, it turns out the only person having sex with millennials is Bill Clinton. The only one. All right. So be happy you're not a millennial. And if you are, well, I'm really sorry. Today's headlines. First, the Obama administration has been caught in yet another cover-up, this time paying Iran what appears to be a ransom for the freeing of detained U.S. citizens. Is this Iran-Contra all over again? And for the first time on record, GOP establishment leaders were right. They were right when they said they would lose races due to Donald Trump. But they aren't losing to Democrats. Also, Speaker Ryan is finding himself between a rock and a donation. Is this GOP globalist about to lose his primary? We have all that, plus Zika is spreading like wildfire in the Sunshine State. We have a new poll we need to tear apart, as we always do, and North Korea is once again lobbing missiles into the Sea of Japan. Things are getting hot and heavy over there in the Pacific. Or the Southern Pacific, South Pacific, I guess, to be more exact about it. But first, let's kick the show off the way we always do with a salute to our country with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, the Pledge of Allegiance always brought to you here on the Rhino Report 5 days a week. 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, generally on crntalk.com at 2 p.m. Eastern. However, not the last 3 days. I had my hopes up. I thought we were going to go live today, but technical difficulties once again, we got to bounce signals off of satellites and things like that. I don't know. Hopefully we'll be live at some point this week. I'd love to do another live show. These recorded shows, well, they're fun. We get to hang loose, do a little fancy free, kind of, have fun here. But yeah, at the same time, I like the structure. I like having the structure in place. It keeps us on track, keeps us on message. But I'm not going to stop doing a show because the feed's not working. So here's the show. Again, it's like a hidden track. It's like a hidden track. At the end of the CDs, we have to wait like 5 minutes, like there's a new song that no one's ever heard of before. Well, the last three episodes, this one including, will be like your hidden tracks for the Rhino Report. A big shout out to everybody on K98Talk.com and Red Nation Rising Radio. We're generally live there. And you can always catch our playback on CRN Channel 5 at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And you should definitely go to your favorite podcasting site, wherever that is. iTunes, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podbean, iHeartRadio, all over. And you should check out the old episodes of this show. You have a little free time, an hour at night, maybe driving to work, driving home from work, something like that. Check out the old episodes. Lots of good ones up there where I think we're like 135 shows deep now, something like that. And hopefully tomorrow we're live. Hopefully tomorrow we're live. We have a special guest tomorrow that I want to bring to you. And then next week we have guests just about all week. Just about all week. People want to come on the show now. The show is getting bigger, and that's because of you guys. But they want to come on the show, so we'll talk to them. We'll talk to them. All right, let's talk for a minute here about what's going on with this Zika stuff. I don't want to take up too much time with this, but it's important, and it's important for a few reasons. Number one, the federal government is not freeing up a lot of money to deal with this. This is landing on the shoulders of local municipalities to have to deal with this problem, and it's a big problem. Now, here in New York, on Long Island particularly, we have had a bad problem over the last, let's say, 8 or 9 years with West Nile. Okay, West Nile, it came in hot and heavy, and a lot of people got sick. There were a few deaths every year because of it. Now, there is a strain of West Nile that horses get. Now, some of you who own horses know that that's actually very common. It's very common. It's like an equine encephalitis, I think they call it. But in humans, it's not so common. It's not as common, but it has become much more so recently. Now, here on Long Island, what happens is we need like 4 or 5 cases of possible West Nile, and then they have to catch like 25 mosquitoes in a certain area that are also West Nile infected mosquitoes, and then they start spraying. See, there's no preventative maintenance. No preventative maintenance. And, well, that's kind of the case everywhere. It's not often that your municipality acts in a preemptive fashion to try and help you, which is really the only job government has, to protect its citizens. But they don't think that that's the case anymore. So they catch these 25 mosquitoes, and then they spray in an area. They say, close your windows, turn off your air conditioners, even though ACs don't suck air in from the outside, but no one knows that. So they say, turn off your air conditioners, close the windows, we're going to spray. And then they spray in that one area, and the West Nile seems to be abated in that little one area for a couple of weeks, but meanwhile, it's spreading other places. Now, had they just, you know, sprayed the whole areas that historically have been West Nile areas, this wouldn't be an issue. It wouldn't be an issue. They just preemptively spray them in like early August, late July, and there's no issue. Well, they're running into this problem now in Florida. See, now they're treating these affected areas with the Zika virus just north of Miami on sort of a case-by-case basis. They have guys walking around in those outbreak CDC suits, and they're spraying some sort of chemical that no one knows what it is. And, well, they're trying to kill these mosquitoes that may be affected with the Zika virus. But the problem is that Florida should have been spraying 2 months ago. 2 months ago. It's always mosquito season in Florida. Maybe there's a month or two in the winter where it's not so bad. I'm not that sure. There are those of you listening in Florida. One of our syndicates is in Jasper, Florida, and Lake City, that area. You guys would know better than me. But to the best of my knowledge, mosquito season is just about all year. So you knew this was coming. This has been spreading north of the tropical zones for just about a year and a half now. So instead of preemptively spraying and trying to mitigate any possible damage, we wait. We wait and we wait and we wait until there's finally a mosquito that has Zika. And then, all of a sudden, oh, we should start spraying. Very reactive, and very typical of the way our government works, not only on a local level, but on a national level. Congress has failed to put money aside for this. This is a big problem. It is a huge problem. It could be transmitted via sex. It could be transmitted via mosquito bite. They don't know. This thing could even get airborne. There are people that are saying it could be an airborne illness if it spreads enough and it mutates enough. But once again, we are reactive in our response. And being reactive is not going to save the lives it needs to save. Once again, the only job of government is to protect its people. That is the only job. Maybe that's a little libertarian of me, but that's the way I read the Constitution. That's their job, is to protect us, and they have failed to do that when they can't preemptively put aside $1 billion. $1 billion. That sounds like a lot of money, but to them it's nothing. It's nothing to the government. When you talk about numbers in the trillions and the hundreds of trillions, our unfunded liabilities at $130 trillion abroad, $1 billion to save people at home, that's not a lot. That's not a lot. So if you're in the North Miami area, or really anywhere in Florida or southern Georgia for that fact, or just be careful. Just be careful. Put on your cutter, your deep woods off, whatever it is you wear, and wear long sleeves. You guys know this. I'm going to tell you this. But I grew up in the northern part of New York, and we have what's called black fly season. Black fly season is terrible. They're like little gnats, and they just come in swarms of like 1,000, and they get in your ears and your eyeballs, and they get everywhere. It's just disgusting. You'll comb your hair afterwards, and you'll find 100 of these little black flies in your comb because they're crawling through your hair. It's terrible. So I am well aware of how to try to keep myself free from these little critters. So just be careful if you're down there in Florida and Georgia, and I hope South Carolina, and I hope Georgia and Alabama, Mississippi, and they get their act together and they start spraying for this stuff. And Southern Texas, this is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's bigger than Ebola. Ebola was contained to one area. We brought back one or two people that, you know, had to be treated, and none of us were really for that at the time. Thank God it didn't spread here. But this is spreading like wildfire, like absolute wildfire. But hey, let's have the Olympics, right? Let's have the Olympics in the epicenter, in the absolute epicenter of Zika. It's really quite depressing to me to have to talk about this. This is something that is very easily contained with the right kind of money set aside. And you know what? It's almost indicative of what's been happening with our immigration too. Now, here on Long Island, again, and I use this as a reference point, this is the oldest suburb. We have a lot of problems first here. We have a lot of immigration here too. And we've had some Syrian refugees put here. We've had lots of Mexicans here, lots of illegals, undocumented, all right here on Long Island, some placed by the government, some just made their way here. We are starting to have outbreaks of measles and mumps. Measles and mumps, things that we thought were gone, right? These are diseases like you learn about in the history books, like rickets. Who's got rickets anymore? Well, rickets is making a comeback, I guess, because they're bringing these people here that are spreading these diseases. I mean, mumps. We get treated for mumps when we're 2 years old. We get these MMR vaccines and stuff. Mumps. Unbelievable. But it's kind of the same way with mosquitoes. I guess these mosquitoes aren't documented either. All right. So that's it. Once again, just be safe. And this is political news. This is national news. It really is. Because when our government, when our politicians fail to protect us, this is what happens. They are so worried. They are so worried about their little races and in their primaries that they don't care. They have stopped caring. The enemy now is Donald Trump. The enemy is no longer Iran. The enemy is no longer ISIS. The enemy is no longer Zika. The enemy is Donald Trump. So just remember that going forward when you wonder why your local politicians aren't advocating for you properly. Speaking of Donald Trump, there's a report by ABC out today that says that there are some senior GOP establishment officials that are starting to spitball the idea of what would happen if Donald Trump dropped out. Very weird, right? Very weird. I mean, a guy with conviction. I mean, Donald Trump has conviction. Call him what you want. He's got conviction. Do you really think he would drop out? Why is this rumor starting to spread? I mean, it was even spreading on Twitter last night and this morning. And the GOP establishment trying to figure out what they would do if he dropped out. Now, why would they be thinking that? Is that to undermine him? I mean, we're going back to like 1964 campaign tactics, by the way, because nobody has any fresh ideas. But why is that being floated, and why is it being floated to media that is not, it has not been a friend to Donald Trump and Donald Trump supporters? Remember, mainstream media on a consistent basis, if you are a Donald Trump supporter, okay, and I know there's a lot of you that listen to this show, if you are a Trump supporter, always remember that mainstream media, the alphabet networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, they think you're stupid. They think you're dumb, okay? I don't think you're dumb. I think you're rather smart, to be honest with you. But they think you are below average. They think you're stupid. So ABC is going to run with this story. And what do they put in the story? There's a lot of conjecture. Well, if he does drop out, then the 168 members of the RNC would then get to pick the new nominee, so long as it happens before September 1st. Lots of conjecture, no fact. Donald Trump has said he's not dropping out. But what does that do now? They see the Republicans in this country coming together slowly, very slowly. We do have the GOP elite at the top and the establishment that does not want to acquiesce. They are still at the top. They are separate. But some of the never-Trumpers are coming towards Donald Trump, realizing what a bad decision a Hillary Clinton presidency would be. So what does ABC try to do? Well, we'll float the idea that Donald Trump's going to drop out. And then we'll tell you that 168 people have the possibility to usurp 16 million people. Well, here we go, driving it apart again. You have your ultra-conservative, establishment conservative type guys, your Bill Kristols, your Hayes, your Guy Bensons, your Ben Shapiros, salivating at this stuff. Salivating. And then you have the Trumpers saying, no. 16 million of us voted for this guy. You can't usurp our vote with 168 appointed people. So they're trying to wedge it again, right? Trying to have that divide occur once again, just as things are starting to come back together. Very, very slowly, but you're seeing it in polls, okay? As bad as the sampling is, you are seeing it on the Republican side of polls. Throw away the rest of the poll. Just look at the people who are registered Republicans and what they're saying. And the polls are showing, in that regard, that the Republican Party is coming together again, slowly. But we saw a huge divide happen with the DNC, with the WikiLeaks, and Bernie Sanders and his voters, and they're going to Jill Stein. So mainstream media has to get involved. We have to get involved. We have to save the Hillary Clinton candidacy. So let's create a divide amongst the Republicans yet again, just when they're showing signs of coming together. That's what this story is. I don't for a second believe Donald Trump is dropping out of this race. He's a New Yorker. He's in this thing until it's over, until it's absolutely over. Win, lose, or draw. Okay? But, once again, mainstream media just trying to draw everybody apart. You know, divide and conquer, that's what this is. You know, Hillary Clinton has not had the best couple of weeks either. Remember, the beginning of the DNC, if you look back to the beginning, okay, Monday and Tuesday, that everybody forgets about, because everybody wants to talk about Kazir Khan and Hillary Clinton, and for some odd reason, Chelsea Clinton. Look back to the first 2 days. The first 2 days saw walkouts. All the Bernie supporters walked out. The DNC then paid people to fill those seats, so it didn't look empty in there. Putting that aside, that was one issue. The next issue is that the first 2 days were 150% anti-cop. Absolutely no bones about it. The mothers of the movement, a lot of anti-cop rhetoric, Black Lives Matter chants, but then they had to wash it away, okay? That didn't take hold. Now remember, Black Lives Matter is consulting with the Hillary campaign when it comes to criminal justice reform. They are consulting. They are paid consultants by the Hillary campaign. But that didn't work. The American public looked at it and said, you know what? We don't really hate cops. We don't hate them. In fact, we love them. We honor them. We cherish them. We value them. And we don't value a group of people who condone the murder of cops. Okay? So now, they change the message. They change the message, that's not working. We have to talk about how bad Donald Trump is. And they talk about his business record. Failed businesses. Okay, 600 companies Donald Trump has owned in his life, four have gone bankrupt. Four. That is rather good. If you have ever tried to start a small business, you know that the failure rate in the first year is 80%. 80% of all small businesses fail in the first year. Donald Trump, 600, only 4 failed. So they go to that well. Donald Trump is a failed business person. And then, let's move past to the convention. Now we have Warren Buffett, Mark Cuban, and Michael Bloomberg, real billionaires, quote-unquote, talking about how they are more wealthy than Donald Trump. And they'll compare tax returns any day of the week. Well, is this what people want? The Democrats are the party of the billionaire? Didn't Hillary Clinton just tell us in her acceptance speech that they're the party of the worker? It has not been a good couple of weeks, optics-wise, for the Clintons. For Hillary Clinton in particular. So, they've been bashing Donald Trump with this Kazir Khan stuff. You can't go after a Gold Star family. Can't go after him. You know, give me somebody we can fight. Don't just keep sending up pawns. Because Donald Trump was in a lose-lose situation there. If he doesn't respond, it's that, oopsie, Kazir Khan was right. If he does respond, he's attacking a Gold Star family. Now, the Kerry campaign tried this with that Cindy Sheehan. You know, again, a Gold Star family going after George W. But nothing has really worked for the Clintons. They have changed their minds on everything. On Thursday of last week, they are the party of the worker. By Monday, they're marching out billionaires. 2 months ago, we're 100% for TPP. Last Thursday, we are against TPP. President Obama, we are going to be the change candidate. We are going to be the change candidate from President Obama. And then, Wednesday and Thursday, well, we're all in this together. We support President Obama, and he supports us. And he's a successful president. Don't let the numbers fool you. Don't let the numbers fool you. No growth in the country. We're $20 trillion in debt, $130 trillion in unfunded liabilities. Our economy is inflated. Inflated to a dangerous, dangerous point. But that's okay. Don't look at the numbers. Obama's very successful, and we're with him, and he's with her. Right? They have not had a good couple of weeks. So mainstream media, the Alphabet Networks, have to go to work for Hillary. They have to go to work for her because she can't win this on her own. She cannot present herself in a better light. The American public already has a very, very negative view of her. Her untrustworthiness numbers are almost north of 70%. 70. So she has to go after Donald Trump. Has to go after him, and she's going to use her surrogates, i.e. mainstream media, to do that. So take a lot of this stuff with a grain of salt. When you hear about Donald Trump might drop out, not dropping out, guys. Not going to happen. And you know what's going to happen? Let's just play for a second, theoretically, what's going to happen. Donald Trump drops out. 168 people get to make the choice of 16 million people. Guess who they choose? Paul Ryan. That's who they choose. I'll tell you right now. They choose Paul Ryan. Or Mitt Romney. Maybe Marco Rubio, but probably not. Probably not. And I got news for you, never Trumpers. It will never be Ted Cruz. Never be Ted Cruz. So you can hope Donald Trump drops out all you want. It will never in a million years be Ted Cruz that these 168 people pick. It'll be somebody beholden to big money, big donors, special interest. That's what it will be. Hands down. But that's just theoretically. Never going to happen. Never, ever going to happen. Does Donald Trump have to get back on message? Yeah, he has to get back on message. He has to stop attacking people whenever they come after him, because the Hillary campaign is going to have a litany of people who are just normal everyday citizens attacking Donald Trump. He can't go after them. You can't say you are going to defend the little guy and then attack the little guy. You can't do that. That's not going to be good for this campaign. You have to stay on message. You have to attack Hillary. You have to attack her when it comes to Benghazi. You have to attack her when it comes to the DNC collusion. Don't beg for Bernie voters there, but you have to go after them. And now you have brand new information coming out last night that the Obama administration may have paid a ransom to Iran for the release of American citizens being held there. $400 million. $400 million. Now, I want to get into this more, but we got to take a quick break. Hang in there, guys. 1 minute. You're listening to The Rhino Report.
You're listening to The Rhino Report, always right on the RWB Network.
So you've missed the healthcare deadline and don't have any form of healthcare? Liberty HealthShare has the answer. Liberty HealthShare offers an affordable healthcare option that allows Americans to enroll any time of the year. For those of you who have already enrolled but just aren't satisfied with what you've chosen, there's still hope. Liberty HealthShare allows Americans to control, manage, and direct their healthcare, yet still be in good standing with the Affordable Care Act. Members are exempt from the tax penalty and mandates imposed on individuals for not having healthcare insurance, thus giving you freedom from insurance. Liberty HealthShare empowers their members by giving them the ability to choose any doctor or hospital across the nation. Memberships are for individuals, couples, and families, offering a variety of options to best suit an individual's medical needs. If you're a freedom-loving American like myself, looking for contract-free healthcare, then this is for you. For more information on how to enroll at any time of the year, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org to request a free estimate. Do it today. All right, guys, welcome back to The Rhino Report. I am your host and your friend, The Rhino, this Wednesday, August 3rd, Wednesday afternoon here in New York. When you give me 25 minutes to do a monologue, I'm going to take all of it. I'm going to take every single minute. We have no structure now. There's no structure. A couple of commercial breaks and that's it. That's it. So, typical New Yorker, I just can't shut up. I can't shut up. All right, so we're talking about this potential ransom that was paid to Iran by the Obama administration for the release of four U.S. prisoners in Iran, and it's in the amount of about $400 million. They stuck this $400 million on a cargo plane, and sent it over to Iran in January. That's what we're hearing. And, you know, they're saying that this was just a settlement for a long-standing claim at the U.S.-Iran Claims Tribunal at The Hague. So this was something we owed them. We owed them this, you know? Kind of like that one point, what was it, $9 billion we paid them, and then all of a sudden our 10 sailors got released. You know, very similar. It's good for the taxpayer. That's what they say. They tell you in these press conferences at the White House, it was good for the taxpayer. Don't worry about it. Make no mistake, this was a ransom paid. This was a ransom paid to Iran. Now, not only did they stick a crate with $400 million on it on a cargo plane and then send that cargo plane over to Iran, they had exchanged the currency first. Now, if this was something on the up and up, all right, it would have been wired. The money would have been wired. You wouldn't have to stick cash on a cargo plane. And you certainly would not have to change the currency. They are perfectly capable of changing the currency. But no. This was just, it was a claim. They deserved it. I don't buy this for a second. We paid a ransom. Guys, we paid a ransom. We paid a ransom. And, you know, not only does this now put Americans overseas in jeopardy of being kidnapped, because you set a precedent. Not only does this put people in jeopardy, and maybe even here, who knows? Who knows? If you can get a ransom of $400 million for four people, that's $100 million per person, wouldn't you maybe try to kidnap somebody? Wouldn't you maybe try to do it? But not only are people now be putting in jeopardy, this is an act of treason. You now financed a terrorist state. You financed a terrorist state, and you went against our code of conduct by paying a ransom in the first place. These are high crimes. This is a treasonous crime. Is mainstream media reporting it? Not really. Not really. They're saying, you know what? We got these guys back because we paid an overdue settlement. The two just happened to be sort of, you know, they were close together. They were hours apart. The plane landed and hours later you had people back on the plane now coming home. Unbelievable. This is the administration that doesn't care about us. They care more about Iran than they care about this country. Remember that. And Hillary Clinton wants to associate herself now, lump herself in with the Obama administration, and she was an integral part of that administration as Secretary of State. Well, they care more about Iran than they care about you. Eh, that's a fact. That's a fact proven here once again. Once again. All right. We'll be talking about this more, I'm sure, but we have a lot to get to today. One thing we have to talk, we're going to switch gears now and talk more about maybe some of these congressional races that are not going so well for some of these establishment Republicans. You see, Ed, what's his name? Tim Holzkamp. Tim Holzkamp lost his primary. Lost his primary in Kansas out of their first district to Dr. Roger Marshall. Now, remember, Tim Holzkamp would not endorse Donald Trump. He wouldn't endorse him. He's a never-Trumper. He's a big, big, big Ted Cruz supporter. That's who he's behind, 120%. And for that, he paid the price of now losing his seat in Congress. We heard, let's say it was April or May of 3-4 months ago, that Republicans are going to lose their seats in Congress and lose their seats in the Senate because of Donald Trump, because of how much people just despise Donald Trump. And I said on this show, I said, yes, they are right. They will lose their seats, but they won't lose them to Democrats. They'll lose them to people who support Donald Trump. Because once again, you have representatives that feel they are the lords of their district. It doesn't matter what our constituents think. It matters what I think, and I'll just convince them that I'm right. That's not the way it works. If you fancy yourself a constitutionalist, if you fancy yourself someone that believes in the idea of American exceptionalism, you know that that's the way it works too. Right? Your representative is just that, a representative of their constituents. Not someone that has to go back to them and say, okay, guys, I get what you're saying, but, you know, I have some donors and stuff that don't believe that, so we have to just morph it a little bit. No, that's not how it works. And that's why these guys are dropping like flies. They're dropping like flies because Donald Trump brought that to the forefront. He cannot be bought. Does he have some donors? Sure. There are some donors out there. But he has raised like 1% of what Mitt Romney raised in 2012. Donors are just, they're scattering. They don't want to back Donald Trump. He's going to have to use his own money. And that's something he's going to have to come to terms with. That's a whole separate issue. He's going to have to come to terms with that. That he needs to dip into his bank account a little bit more than he's been doing. Because Hillary Clinton is killing him in ads. She has ads running all over the country. Thousands and thousands of ads. Trump's got a couple of Instagram ads. Like, he's going to have to get his head in the game. But putting that aside, you had 16 million people come out and vote for Donald Trump. 16 million. That's a large number when you include all the territories and whatnot. 16 million. And when you have a district that is very heavy Trump, as Holzkamp was, his district, and you denounce that guy and you try to convince your constituents that you're right and the person that represents their values is wrong, you're going to lose. You're going to lose 10 times out of 10 because that's not how our system works. Now, Dr. Roger Marshall, he'll be going up for that seat now. He'll be running for that seat. And he's a big Trump supporter. See, someone representative of the district. Huh. Fancy that. Fancy that. We see John McCain. John McCain is against the wall. Here's a guy who's been in the Senate longer than sliced bread's been around. Against the wall. He's going to lose to Dr. Ward. Very, very possible. He won't support Trump. Anyone that has come out against Trump or has refused to support Trump is paying the price. Now, the narrative from the establishment was, well, yeah, we're all going to lose because Democrats are going to take over because our party's divided. Well, maybe that's not the case. Maybe the party is united down below. At the bottom of the triangle is finally united. And that's who elects people. So yeah, Paul Ryan's of the world, Holzkamp's of the world, McCain's of the world. Who knows, maybe Lindsey Graham's of the world in 2 years. could be fighting for their political lives because they are refusing to support the person that the people support. Gosh, what a novel idea. This is not about you, Lindsey Graham. This is not about you, John McCain. Paul Ryan, this is not about you. It never was and it never will be. This is about the American voter. This is about the voter being tired and just absolutely finished with the way things are, being told that they're wrong. I referenced the guy Richard Hanna in New York's 22nd yesterday. He's a Republican, in name only, a true Rhino, R-I-N-O, not the good kind, R-Y-N-O, which, by the way, follow me on Twitter, at Rhino on Air, plug. But he gets elected, Richard Hanna gets elected as a Republican in the middle of New York, a very, very red area, and then decides that he's going to support Hillary Clinton. Do you think any of his voters that voted for him are voting for Hillary Clinton? No, he's telling them, guys, listen, I know better. I know what's right. We have to support Hillary. That's not the way this works. Until they realize that, they are all done. Dunzo. Every single one of them. Whether you think Donald Trump is a conservative, whether you think he's a Republican, whether you think he's a libertarian, whatever you think Donald Trump is, it doesn't matter. He represents the views of the most people ever in the Republican Party in the history of this country. We gotta forget about the titles. Throw the titles in the garbage. I'm tired of hearing them. No more titles. Donald Trump is a movement. It's a movement of people united at the bottom. And when the bottom gets pissed off enough, guess what happens? The top loses. The top loses every single time. Paul Ryan, he might lose the Speaker of the House might lose his primary to someone no one knows. This guy, Paul Nealon. Now you have Ann Coulter's going to go rally for him this weekend. You've had Sarah Palin there for the last 2 months, drumming up the Tea Party support for this guy, Paul Nealon. Paul Ryan is against the wall. And what does he do? Last weekend, what does he do? He goes on a retreat with the Koch brothers and 400 donors. You are not listening. Listening is one of the easiest things you can do. It's what you're taught in kindergarten. There's listening and there's sharing. These are the two things you learn when you're like 4 years old, and he's not doing either one of them. He's being painted as a globalist, and he really is. He's a big-time globalist. He says, put yourself in the shoes of people across the globe before you vote for some of these deals. No, I put my shoes in my shoes, my feet in my shoes. As a New Yorker, as an American, as a patriot, those are my feet go. My feet don't go in the shoes of somebody in Syria. If I wanted to be in Syria, I'd hop a flight to Syria. But I don't. Paul Ryan is about to lose his primary. Now, will there be voter shenanigans? Who knows? Who knows? You know he's going to have more poll watchers than Nealon will. So who knows? Just like Donald Trump was talking about, maybe the whole thing is rigged. You know what? He's probably right. The whole thing is rigged. There's no way you have 50 districts in Philadelphia that didn't log one vote for Mitt Romney in 2012. But that's besides the point. Will Paul Ryan lose Wisconsin's first? The Speaker of the House losing in a primary because he rejects the will of the people. The best thing about this whole Paul Ryan thing was when they asked Donald Trump the other day, are you going to endorse Paul Ryan? Are you going to endorse John McCain? And what did Donald Trump say? He goes, I'm not there yet. Whoa. Whoa. Karma. Karma sucks, huh? Karma sucks. Awfully similar. Awfully similar to what Paul Ryan said about Donald Trump just a couple of months ago. Huh? Karma sucks, Mr. Ryan. Well, he's trailing in this poll right now. Paul Ryan is trailing by 5 points in the poll to Paul Nealon. However, there is 13% undecided. Now, what is going to go in Nealon's favor are two things. Number one, it's an open primary. Open primary, independents and Democrats can both vote in it. Number two is Nealon is a big Trump guy. Big Trump guy. And that district was a pretty heavy Trump district in the primaries. So, listen... Paul Ryan, maybe this is where it all comes together. Maybe this story about GOP leaders wondering what would happen if Donald Trump drops out. Maybe there's some connection between that and Paul Ryan losing. You think so? I mean, can we get that deep into it? Can we draw that conspiracy theory? Now, we don't do a lot of those on this show, but sometimes they're just kind of right out in front of you. If he loses, gosh, who would be a better guy to put in that the 168-member council that's better than the rest of us could parachute in than Paul Ryan? We've been hearing that name for a long time, haven't we? And he just might be available. He just might be available. Interesting. Interesting. Now, Nealon has a long letter he wrote, a statement, if you will. You know, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you go online, if you go to Breitbart, actually, go to Breitbart, they have a good story about this. They have the whole statement there, and he slams Paul Ryan for being a globalist, and he slams Paul Ryan for not endorsing the nominee or taking his time to do so. And he pretty much says in this statement that, you know what? The only reason why he, at this point, has become so successful, Nealon that is because Paul Ryan has just failed to do his job. Has failed to do his job, unite the party, get on the Trump train, and try to beat Hillary Clinton. Otherwise, this wouldn't be a primary contest, is essentially what this statement says. Now, if you look back to May 23rd, okay? May 23rd, there was a head-to-head poll between Paul Ryan and Paul Nealon. Paul Ryan was up by 73 points. 73 points. That's not a mandate. That's a butt-kicking. 73 points. Now, he's down by 5. Down by 5. I don't know. I would be awfully, awfully worried. I don't think there's any amount of donor money that's going to save Paul Ryan here. If he wins, it will be by a very slim margin. Will he learn from that? No. No, he won't learn from that because politicians don't learn. But the donor money, if he brings in more money, right now he has like $10 million in the war chest. $10 million to spend between now and like next Tuesday. August 9th is their primary day. It also happens to be Wisconsin's Independence Day. A little history lesson there for you. But will all that money make a difference? Probably not, because the people who are voting for Nealon, they know the deal. They know what's going on. This voter, this Trump voter, this Nealon voter, this new movement of voters, they are a little bit more savvy than you think. A little bit more savvy. Maybe they can't recite chapter and verse of House resolutions like some of us can, but they know when they're getting screwed. They know it. And that, it's dangerous, dangerous pool for politicians. Because once the voter knows they're getting screwed, you're done. Absolutely done. Paul Ryan could be done. Could be done. All right, let's take one more quick break here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about maybe some more donor stuff, and maybe we'll talk about North Korea. We have a poll here to go over. We've got a few things to go over in the last 10 minutes of the show. So guys, hang in there. You are listening to The Rhino Report.
You're listening to The Rhino Report. Always right on the RWB Network.
So you've missed the healthcare deadline and don't have any form of healthcare? Liberty HealthShare has the answer. Liberty HealthShare offers an affordable healthcare option that allows Americans to enroll any time of the year. For those of you who have already enrolled but just aren't satisfied with what you've chosen, there's still hope. Liberty HealthShare allows Americans to control, manage, and direct their healthcare, yet still be in good standing with the Affordable Care Act. Members are exempt from the tax penalty and mandates imposed on individuals for not having healthcare insurance, thus giving you freedom from insurance. Liberty HealthShare empowers their members by giving them the ability to choose any doctor or hospital across the nation. Memberships are for individuals, couples, and families, offering a variety of options to best suit an individual's medical needs. If you're a freedom-loving American like myself, looking for contract-free healthcare, then this is for you. For more information on how to enroll at any time of the year, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org to request a free estimate. Do it today.
Hey,
All right, guys, welcome back to the last segment of today's show. I feel weird saying that because it's going to be a much longer segment than our last segments generally are. But remember to follow me on Twitter. I have lots of snarky things to say. People like that sometimes. At Rhino on Air. That's at Rhino, R-Y-N-O, on Air. And you can always email me if you have any questions, concerns, comments to Rhino, R-Y-N-O, at rwbnetwork.com. And you can also send an article there if you want to write for the Rhino Report. We have a couple of good writers now. We're always looking for more. You can send me your article to Rhino at rwbnetwork.com, and we'll take a look at it. Try to make it, I don't know, between 400 words and more. 400, 600, something like that. More than 400 words, okay? That's typically how long most articles are. So let's try to keep it there. If it's super good and it's under that, we'll consider it, all right? We'll leave the door open for that. We don't want to limit anyone's potential here. So check out that site too, rhinoreport.com, and you'll see lots of old episodes there and some rhino rants and some cool stuff you can kind of poke through while you're at work and you're bored. I totally understand that feeling. All right, let's talk about some more donor stuff here. Do you guys know who Meg Whitman is? Meg Whitman? Well, she is the president and CEO of Hewlett-Packard. And she has decided that she will not be, she won't be endorsing or donating any money to the Trump campaign. Yeah, she's with her. She's with her. She's going to go with Hillary Clinton. She has, of course, compared Trump to Hitler and Mussolini in the past. They love doing this. They love doing this. But you know what? When these big donors start lining up behind Hillary Clinton, it just proves Donald Trump's point for him that it's us versus them. It's the big money, the big interest, special interest versus everybody else. And Meg Whitman, well, she just contributes to that at this point. She said, America needs the kind of stable and aspirational leadership Secretary Clinton can provide. That's what she says, aspirational leadership. You know, I wonder how inspiring the people in Benghazi thought Hillary Clinton was. What do you think? I wonder how inspiring Pat Smith thinks that Hillary Clinton is. She said in a statement to the New York Times, I will vote for Hillary. I will talk to my Republican friends about helping her, and I will donate to her campaign and try to raise money for her. So what she's going to tell her Republican donor friends is, guys, we can buy her. Yeah, 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 we can't buy that Donald guy, but we can buy her. So just put your party allegiance aside for a second, because this one's for sale. This one's for sale. That's what she's going to do. She's all but saying it right here. All but saying it. Her down payment to the Clinton campaign will be in the mid-six figures. That's a nice little down payment she's going to give, and then she'll see what she can buy for that. That's kind of testing the waters, right? I'll give you $500,000. What do I get? What do I get for that? Ooh, I can get something good. Well, I'll give you $1 million more. Now you'll answer the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning if the donor calls for $1.5 million. Sweet. Sweet. Making Donald Trump look very smart here is what she's doing. And, you know, why you would come out and say that in a New York Times article. No one who reads the New York Times is a big Trump supporter to begin with. So why you would come out, you're not convincing anybody. Like, all you're doing is convincing other big money donors that read the New York Times. That's all you're doing, because none of the readership is very moderate or conservative. She also says here, that I urge all Republicans to reject Donald Trump this November. Reject! They love that word, reject. Yeah. Oh, well. So, Meg Whitman, president and CEO of Hewlett-Packard, you have guaranteed two things to me. Number one, you have worked your way into the Rhino Hall of Shame for being someone that has switched parties because of interests. And number two, you have also made it now clear to me that I will never buy a Hewlett-Packard product. So take that. What else do we have here? All right, let's talk about, I guess, North Korea for a few minutes. We'll skip this poll. We'll do this poll tomorrow. We talked about it a little bit yesterday on the recorded show. I wanted to go into it more in depth on the live show. I can't talk today. I can't talk on the live show, but that didn't happen. So we'll just do that tomorrow. I had some more numbers I wanted to go into on that poll, but we're going to have more polls tomorrow too. That's our poll crazy day. Paul Crazy Day. And we're also going to talk to Dr. Dale Bellis of Liberty HealthShare tomorrow. He's going to tell us all about how you can get out of that nasty Obamacare, and you can get a healthcare plan that's actually affordable. It's going to be good stuff. Good stuff, so you don't want to miss that. That's plugging tomorrow's show. Let's stick to today's show. North Korea, they've fired two more ballistic missiles out of Pyongyang. Pyongyang, interesting name. You know what they call these missiles? They're called no-dongs. Yeah, no-dong. I think little Kim there has no-dong, if you ask me. But see, I can say that now because it's a recorded show. So we're fast and loose. We're fast and loose. Japan calls this an unforgivable act of violence. So now one of these missiles landed in the Sea of Japan, which is ironically enough close to Japan. And North Korea is saying that if we set up this THAAD, THAAD missile defense system, that's going to be no good, and they will respond with a physical response to that. So they don't want a missile defense system set up because you don't want, like, you know, the person you're attacking to have the ability to defend themselves, and that will prompt a physical response from the North Koreans. From the North Koreans. Listen, they have been doing this for months now. They've been testing ICBMs all year. All year, they've done four nuclear tests. They'll probably do a fifth test. They have said that if we engage in our annual war games with South Korea, that they will declare war on us. Well, they've pretty much already declared war on us. You know, but they lost a Twitter war because they declare war on us and we just send back lots of memes and nasty tweets. But, you know, I wouldn't put it past this guy. I think this guy, Kim Jong-un, little Kim, I think he's a little bipolar or something. I really do, because one minute he's saying, oh, well, you know what, we overreact sometimes and we should try to form a better, tighter stitched fabric or whatever term it was he used with the U.S. Because I think China talks to them and says, you know what, calm down. Calm down, guy. This is not working for you. And then 2 months later, he declares war on us and there are acts of aggression, unforgivable acts of aggression. He's sending these no-dong missiles at us or... Japan, I guess. You know, I feel bad. It's hard not to laugh at this stuff because this is very much the boy who cries wolf. It is, and I guess we'll all be laughing until he actually does something or actually lands a missile somewhere. Now, half of the missiles that they shoot off, they explode like in the middle of the air because they don't make it very far. Their engineering has been. These guys couldn't put together an erector set. Really, is what's going on here. They take everyone else's technology. But they are a nuclear country, which is, you know, scary that this guy's at the helm. And I thought it was funny that when North Korea declared war on us, it was trending number one in the world. It was trending on Twitter, number one in the world. But what's odd about that is no one in North Korea could see that. No one in North Korea even knew that was happening. They don't even know what Twitter is. Only 2% of the population in that country has electricity. 2%. And I wonder of how many of them actually have smartphones and stuff. Probably nothing. It's probably against the law there to have a smartphone or an iPad or something in that area. Now, we have to be vigilant because there are thousands of our military stationed in Japan. So we do have to be vigilant of that. Now, did we know that missile was heading toward Japan? Did we know it was going to fall short? You know, who knows? Probably. I'm sure our radars and whatever picked that up. But there are 28,500 of our soldiers stationed in South Korea. That's a big threat, too. Big threat. They're always threatening to wipe South Korea off the map. Remember, there's no peace treaty here. There's no peace treaty. There's an armistice in place. No peace treaty ever since the Korean War. So they are technically still at war. Technically still at war. So I guess we'll see what happens here with little Kim and his no-dong. But not good. Not good. All right, guys, remember, tomorrow we're going to be live, hopefully live, crntalk.com at 2 p.m. Eastern or rednationrising.us/player on the Liberty feed at 2 p.m. Eastern time. You can always catch the replays on CRN Channel 5 at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Hopefully that's up and running tonight so you guys can catch the replay. But, yeah, listen, as always, hope you guys had fun. A big thank you to those serving our country at home and abroad, and a huge thank you to those in the law enforcement community. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for all your hard work. We all depend on you. God bless all of you. God bless all of your families. Thanks for listening today. And until tomorrow, I'm the Rhino, and I'm out.